Welcome, everyone, to Freedom Law School's conference call on this Thursday, January 21st, 2016. We have reconnected me. Okay, folks. Can you guys hear me again? We had a little technical problems on me being on the conference call. Okay. Sorry about that. These technology is wonderful, but technology also has problems that don't always work as they should. So as I was saying, that, you know, I believe that there's no way you can fill out a 1040 income tax confession form, which people are thinking about filling out now. In America, all over America, millions of Americans are thinking about filling out, completing, and signing a 1040 income tax confession form. And there's no way I say that anybody can fill out, complete, and sign those 1040 income tax confession forms without not opening themselves to the possibility that anything that they put on that 1040 form can may be used against them for criminal prosecution, which would violate your right to be silent as guaranteed by the Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. I will talk about this issue in more detail tonight. What I'm going to be doing first, though, is answering your freedom questions. You see, at Freedom Law School, I have created close to 10 different courses in the mid to late 1990s to help you educate and empower you to live free now. To know about the U.S. Constitution, our system of laws, and the proper procedures you need to assert to live free of oppressive taxation and control. And these courses are still available to help you fish for yourself, learn for yourself, help yourself. At livefreenow.org, you see I have a lot of great free information there. You find also a lot of great videos and seminars I've done over the past and on our YouTube channel, Freedom Law School. So if you go to YouTube, to Freedom Law School channel, subscribe, you'll get a lot of good information there for you. And what I do now every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at these conference calls, I answer your questions free of charge. Whether it's the IRS, a state income tax agency, the police, or any kind of a bureaucrat or government agent who may be harassing you, wants to violate your rights, steal your money, okay, or your property, I'm here to help you understand the law and your rights and assert the proper procedures you need to use to be able to live free, because America was meant to be a free country. You were born free. You are not meant to be a slave. These government workers, they are your and my public servants. But their role has been hijacked by the big banks on Wall Street and their corporations and their politicians and their media who supports them. They've turned us into a new slave feudal system. And it's time that we wake up as Americans, take back our government. And I want to help each one of you live free now, as well as we all work collectively to restore freedom to America. But it all starts with education. That's right. That's why I always say, don't believe me, the government, or anybody else out there. Verify it for yourself. And if you go to our website at livefreedom.org, sign up for our email list, you're going to get once a month a free education that's for sale, has been for sale, or otherwise not available to members of the public. You're going to get that information. That's stuff that you will not find other places on internet to educate you about the law, your rights. Things like how to use a law library. Okay, they're not available to teach you how to do these things. So, folks, Freedom Law School is your freedom education source and your freedom solution source. So these conference calls last as long or as short as you have questions, followed by the subject of the week, which I'll be teaching on these conference calls. Each week, I'll cover a different subject that I'll be teaching you about. So let's go to our callers to see who has a question. And you're welcome to, of course, to listen and learn to other people's questions, and that's just fine. If you want to listen and learn, that's quite all right, Oak, so no problem. So let's go right now to the caller we have from area code 951. Do you have a question? Call from area code 951. If so, give me your first name and then go ahead and ask your question.
I'm just listening, Paymon. This is Al. I'm just listening.
Very good, Al. Thanks for being on the call with us tonight. Let's go to the caller we have from area code 503. The call from area code 503, if you have a question, please announce yourself now. Hold on. Call from area code 503. Okay, here we go. Your microphone is on, my friend. Do you have a question you wish to ask?
Yes, this is Dennis from Oregon. And
okay.
I have a question.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name. Is it Doug from Oregon? Did I hear you right?
Dennis, D-E-N-N-I-S.
Dennis. Can you spell that for me, please, if you don't mind, slowly?
D-E-N-N-I-S.
Oh, Dennis, yes.
There we
Very
go,
good,
Dennis.
All right, my friend.
I'm in a room and kind of echoes in here. That's part of the problem.
No problem, my friend. How did you hear about Freedom Lost, by the way, Dennis?
Oh, that would have been from Joe Bannister or from Larkin Rose or from Thurston Bell. Over the years, I've been looking at a lot of different angles, and I got myself in one here now. We're trying to work our way through on it, and I will be speaking to you probably on the phone off the conference call as well when I get the opportunity. I have
okay.
a question regarding a 1099. I've
yes.
jumped through the hoops for a number of years. Haven't had the file since 18 years ago. It was 18, 15, somewhere back there. Anyway,
okay.
There's three of us involved on a piece of property that us kids owned, and that was sold. And the CPA that was in charge of that for the other two partners issued all of us a 1099. That's the first 1099 I've had in a number of years. I'm a contractor by trade.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to great extent to not get 1099s or W-2s or anything of the such. Now, I got a 1099 here of 60-some thousand or 55,000. I don't have it in front of me. I was trying to pull it up before the conference call started. Where do I go with that? I know the other two people, they're going to go ahead and file like they've been doing all their lives, and you know, that's where it's at. With me, on the other hand, I don't know what to do with it. Just let it go for the filing cabinet. And that's where I'm at. I say there's no taxable source of income the past number of years, based upon mm-hmm. the evidence and based upon, you know, what I've been doing. But then I get mm-hmm. I get it with this big 1099. I go, wow, well, that's $60,000 there. Or I think it's 60. It could even be 65. I'm not sure. But it's mm-hmm. you know up there on the sale mm-hmm. of the property, and I don't know
right.
where to go with that.
Well. Have you looked at Freedom Lost or Simple Freedom Package before?
I'm sorry, sir. I didn't quite hear you.
Have you looked at Freedom Law School's Royal Freedom Package or the Simple Freedom Package before?
I glanced at it, and I have not moved forward. That's what I want to do. That's my next step, is to jump in there. And I think I emailed you the other day, and you sent me a packet, or it's coming anyway. I have not received it yet. To look things over and get some plans. And, well, I've only got a couple weeks left here on the other party. They want me to know what I'm going to do. And I'm saying, well, don't know what I'm going to do.
Well, that's what these two programs were put together for in part. They were meant to be programs where we come together, freedom-loving, patriotic Americans like you, who are the backbone of the freedom movement. I believe especially small business owners like you, who by your own bootstrap made something of yourself, working hard, and you know, you're trying to survive, and there's no one guaranteeing you anything. You got to go out there and make it happen. So if we come together, we can educate each other, support each other, and then I can provide you in this program unlimited support and consultation. So if you have any questions about freedom, law, your rights, taxes, IRS, and also business, investment, real estate, and finance, because I was a financial planner in the 1980s for about 6 years, and I did before that real estate mortgage loans also. So I've learned, and I was a business major. That's my degree, was in business, and I studied economics and finance. So I know a lot about the money and professional and formal education. And so it all relates to your life and what you got going on, your business, your real estate, your work. So I can help you with the situation that you got. We really should talk about this privately. Would be a better way to go than on a public call like this, Dennis. But let me just tell you that basically that once the 1099 has been issued by this accountant or CPA that worked for these other two parties, you cannot take it back. It's like trying to put toothpaste back into the toothpaste.
Back into the tube.
Exactly. Tube. You cannot do that.
Should I just go ahead? I haven't filed. I haven't filed in numerous years. Should I just file on just that stupid thing only and pay the darn thing and move on?
That would be actually more dangerous potentially, because you see, because potentially it's even more dangerous. I always tell people, if you really are afraid and really want to file, you know, go ahead and do it completely accurately, correctly, because if they find anything that's not true, correct, or complete or accurate, they can come after you for tax evasion, for material misstatement of a material fact. That is a 3-year jail sentence. A material misstatement on the fact, and tax evasion is 5 years, whereas simply don't file, not file, is only 1 year. They can try to come after you. So you're actually risking more when you fill out that form and you only list part of the income, because you're supposed to list everything. What I can tell you on this conference call is this, Dennis. Doesn't matter if they $60,000 was issued. I know how to beat the IRS, even with that. With a W-2 or 1099 issued against you, I've done it before, because IRS is such a bunch of incompetents, nincompoops, basically, that
so
they are lazy, they take shortcuts they're not supposed to take, they break the law because nobody calls them to the carpet. Now, I don't go there and argue with them about the fundamentals of the income tax, like, you know, Larkin Rose and Thurston Bell and others have done, or Urban Schiff, because that approach doesn't work at all, ever. In other words, they're going to just ignore it, and the judges will uphold the corrupt system. They're not going to let you attack the system.
Right.
But you can beat them on procedures, on technicalities, that the courts themselves in the last few decades, in a few years, have upheld that IRS needs to follow some basic procedural things that they don't do. Okay, so you can beat them that way. And I've learned of these things over the years. So that's why you want to become part of the Royal Freedom Package program, in part, because when the time comes to challenge this stuff, I know how to do this. And you don't have to be afraid of getting 1099 if it comes up again. Yes, I appreciate it, understand. It's good to avoid them. And if you can, great. But if you cannot avoid them necessarily, you don't have to, have a heart attack or be worried about stuff that they're going to come get you, or make a bigger mistake of filling out the 1040 income tax confession form. List only that, not everything else, and get yourself potentially in bigger trouble. Program is meant to be all for one, one for all. In other words, I know, and the IRS knows, and they say that they do not have enough resources, enough employees to come after everybody all at the same time. There are simply too many Americans and too many companies out there for the IRS to come after. So that's in our favor. That means that when we belong to a program like our Royal Freedom Package program, some of you will be left alone year after year after year after year. Never get contacted. Some that come after just about every year. Some that come after here and there and a bunch of years, no. Some years, maybe here and there, to different degrees. So rather than waiting to get in trouble, which is what most people do, most people wait until they're in trouble. Then they call me and say, oh, they just indicted me. They charged me with tax crimes. You know, oh, they just tried to collect $1 million from me. You know, and oh, they just took $1 million from me, and I've had people call me about these things. Oh, you know, I just got convicted. People call me when it's too late. They wait. Oh, they got these big issues. You do the right thing,
that's,
Dennis, in my opinion, by being proactive, my friend.
Yep. That's why I'm calling for now, trying to get some direction. The other two members are going to go ahead and file, and I got to make an amendment to that. I got to get back with that accountant because we got another, there's $3,000 or $4,000 they have to knock off of that and redo it. And that'll get done over the next couple of weeks. Then after that, I'll be stuck here with this thing until I figure out a plan. And you're saying to go to your website, and do I try getting a call going with you personally on the phone, or what's my best bet?
Well, first of all, if you go on the top right of livefreenow.org, our website, you will see on the course packages. And when you click on that, the very first one you see listed is the Royal Freedom Package. So click on
Royal
that. Royal Freedom Package.
Royal Freedom Package, okay. All right.
Okay.
And get that first.
And that's what you want to get.
All right.
That's designed
that.
For someone like you in mind.
I think quite December.
That program is put together for someone like you to be preventative, proactive rather than reactive. You're doing right now the right thing.
Yeah. So you're saying definitely don't file on that though.
No, I wouldn't file. That's actually bigger trouble, potentially.
Okay, because the last time I was in court or hearing with them was clear back in. It had to be at least 17 years ago.
Okay.
And believe it or not, that was on the 861 type program. I don't know if you remember the name of the gentleman, Everett Cornell. He was with Larkin Rose.
Okay.
And I actually flew him out here. We had our kangaroo day in court, and they were forced to pay me back the $8.42 or 82 cents, whatever. The check is just sitting in the vault. Been there all these years. Obviously, it's no good. And it was the object of the whole thing. It wasn't about the money.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, at that point, they weren't ruling every 861 program down. It was new. And they were looking at it and now, every time we get the carrot in one position, the carrot moves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've seen. And I don't have all the answers. And I had looked at your program a number of years ago there. And I thought, well, now this is something. This is good. Then I didn't need nothing. I thought, well, this is good. The way I'm doing this is working. Mm-hmm. I've been doing I've been in construction work for 40 years of my life, and a lot of ups and downs. But same token, like you said, we struggle to survive, and then we get hit with something that the other two members, that was given to us through our family. And, you know, here we are. I know my parents only paid a few thousand for that property, and now we worked and struggled and slaved all of our life for it, and then we go to sell it, and then Uncle Sam went it all back, say. trying to avoid that.
Right.
That's where we are. Well, I can look at that packet now. Is that a downloadable packet, or do I purchase that and it comes out, or what's the I haven't looked at it yet, so.
Well, on the first page, it gives you overview of it. Then you click on it where it says Get Started Now, okay, and that will give you the more detailed information about what it is and how to apply and so forth.
All right.
So once you click on that, you will see first thing an overview of it again, and then after that gives you more details about it, and then there you find the last page of the application.
Got it. So follow that program through anyway to see where we are at and what to do next, right?
Yes. You become a member, and then yep, and one of the things we'll do is we have, because you get unlimited consultation, we will spend some time on the phone going over your situation and answering all your questions and concerns, and I can discuss with you the strategies that are available to you that you should consider. What are your best options, the things not to do, because there's some common mistakes people make that actually invites trouble. It's a common thing a lot of pages do. They do the wrong thing. They mean well, and they think their approach is going to work, but it actually makes things worse. So I'll make sure you don't do those mistakes.
That's why the reason for this call today for.
Yeah, that's why you see after all those years, you see Larkin Rose went to prison, you know,
Kirsten Bell
closed up. All these guys you knew in the movement. In fact, back in those times, 2001 to 2004, IRS attacked all the tax honesty organizations out there and put them out of business with these injunctions as abusive tax shelter promoters, which they were not, but they got the government by its crooked judges to go along with their program. They approached Freedom Law School about that with some letters, and they backed off because there's no way they could paint what I do in any way as being a tax shelter promoter. So all these guys are gone. Freedom Law School is really the last organization standing and doing all this stuff and actually having track record of success. You can see on our website under our victories. If you go on our front page, on top of the page, you see our victories. You can see I've won so many cases. In fact, I've been so busy and I got so many victories from the past, I've stopped putting them on there. It's like I got to take some time, write some, and put them on there, which I'll hopefully do some of that in the next month or two. I'll put some more of them up, the newer ones. So does that answer your question? Yes, sir?
Yes, you did. What was it on there? On one of the sites, they had they were trying to file something on you. I didn't follow it. I don't know where it came from. Last month or something, they tried to come after you on something. I don't know what the outcome was. I was going to ask you that question, too, as well.
I got a tax court case that's still in process. I have a tax court case right now for your 2000 that's going on for your 2001 to 2006. That's been going on for several years now. That's still going on. Before that, the next thing I had IRS night going was IRS one day. The agent officer was there in front of where I lived in California, and I wasn't home, but he saw six cars parked outside of my home. So he went back to his office, ran the license plate of these six cars that were parked outside my house, and the IRS name was John Black, Officer John Black. And because these license plates were not, didn't belong on DMV records of California to any of my known relatives, my relatives that he knew of. I guess he done a search of who my relatives are and ran to see if it doesn't belong to them either. I don't know how he could have known all of my relatives, but anyhow, he couldn't see them being belong to any of my known relatives. He assumed that those six cars must belong to Freedom Law School, to my employees. And not just for that one day, not for 1 week or a month or a year, but for 11 years, going back to 1996. He zoomed in and then said, oh, well, you had all these employees for withhold Social Security and Medicare taxes from their pay. So he came after me for that, and he had pages and pages of employment tax liens filed against me, about $700,000. And then it took me almost 3 years of finding these crooks to finally get IRS appeals officer and the tax court zero out all this fraudulent tax liens and remove it, make it zeroed out. You can see that on our website under our victories, that example also. So that's
all right. I'll look that up.
That's what happened.
I was watching some of your videos here yesterday of the other conference calls, and then I thought, well, hey, I'm back in the office. I'll try giving you a call. And I got right on, so that was kind of cool. I will move forward on that and then set up a time to speak to you more one-on-one. I do thank you for your information, and I'm going to let it go and let someone else jump in there and have a chance to talk.
Very good. And Dennis, if you want to do a one-on-one first, you just send for a one-hour consultation, which is $240, cash only, to Freedom Law School in Florida. And then you'll be contacted. We'll spend an hour, talk about your situation, your questions and concerns. And then you can, when you get the Royal Affair package, that all will be credited toward that anyhow. So if you want
all
to start with that also, to get to know each other privately, I can answer more of your questions that way. And then before you make the full decision to go on board with Freedom Law School.
Sounds good, Pena. We'll talk to you real soon.
All right, my friend. Have a good night, Dennis.
You bet. I'm going to go back on the call here. Bye-bye.
All right. Sounds good. Take care, my friend. Okay, folks, it's time for me to talk with you guys about the second $100,000 income tax reward of Freedom Law School, which is about, you know, anybody, if they can show me how someone can file a 1040 income tax confession form without giving up your right guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution's Fifth Amendment, that you have right to be silent. Without giving up right to be silent, because that information, how you can not give up that right and not have the government and use that information to prosecute you and potentially put you in prison. Well, folks, bottom line is it cannot be done. And I'm going to show you online how you can do that. Bobby, if you just go on your search engine and type $300,000 income tax reward, you'll come across Freedom Law School's page on our income tax rewards. That's the easy way for you to find that. Now, you can go on your computer and type 1040 tax return, okay, 2016. Okay, that's the year 2016 now, right? Or 2015, 14, doesn't matter what year it is, but they're all pretty much the same thing. I put 2016. And I did. I use Google for search engine. I put on my Google search engine, type in 1040 tax return 2016. The very first thing comes is form 1040 U.S. individual income tax return, okay, from the IRS's own website as at irs.gov, okay. And then on that page, let's see, current products, the 1040, the form 1040 will come up right there. Well, there it is. I clicked on it. 2015 is up. 2016 is not up. Okay. The form is 2 pages long. Okay. You can see it for yourself. Now, if you go to the second page, you will see that there's after line 79, there's another part that says near the bottom, third party designee. Okay. And after that, you see where it says sign here on the bottom left area, sign here in bold print. Now, let me read to you what the writing is right next to that. It's a very small print. You know, some of the tiniest print on this form is this line. Because some lines are very big, like the sign here is big. They tell you to sign here, big font, so you notice it. But what you're signing to, what you're signing about, the signature line, they make it very small. The fine point. That's right. The fine. They say the big point giveth away, the fine point taketh away. They want you to sign, but they don't want you to be able to read the fine point details very good. The fine point in a very smaller print, much smaller than the big sign that says, sign here, says, under penalties of perjury. And you know what, folks? I have a degree in business administration from the California State University in business. I've had two business law classes, and no one ever told me what perjury or under penalties of perjury means. So I assume if I didn't know that, that I bet you 98%+ of Americans don't know that either. Well, let me tell you. Penalty of perjury is lying under oath. If you go to court of law, for example, you're a witness, and you lie on a stand before the judge and the jury, for example, perjury, you lied. And just because you lied in a court of law under oath, you can go to prison. That's a crime by itself. Now, so what this is, you sign this form under penalties of perjury. That means the perjury has penalties. What are the penalties of perjury? Could be a fine, but usually it's prison or jail time. It all depends on the judge, how much of a break they want to give you or not, or how badly they want to punish you. Okay? And lying under oath or perjury laws are different in federal and each state laws. So, you assign this form under penalties of perjury. The average American doesn't even know what perjury or penalties of perjury is. But yet they sign this form anyhow without understanding it. So let's go on now. You sign this piece of paper under oath. You swear that everything is true, right? You swear into everything. Now, you see, they're not telling you here that you swear into everything on this form. They're not telling you that. They're not telling you on this form that you're taking an oath. No, they're not telling you that. Because if they tell you you're swearing to something, you're taking an oath, you'd say, well, I don't do that easily. Many people are religious, Christian or otherwise. They don't take, you know, oaths very, very, you know, simply for religious or, you know, faithful reasons. They don't want to do that. And even if you don't take an oath or swear, you know, doesn't matter. They want the penalty of lying under oath be there for you. In other words, whatever you say, if it's not, you know, true, we want to be able to put you in prison for lying. So whether you believe in swearing or saying something under oath, it doesn't matter. They want to have the penalty of you lying on what you say. So what are you saying on the penalty of perjury? Here's what it is. Penalties of perjury, I declare that I have examined this return and accompanying schedules and statements, and to the best of my knowledge and belief, they are true, correct, and complete. Wow. That's a lot. Okay, you saying that to the best of your knowledge, everything here is true, completely true. Remember, 98% true is not true. You got to be 100% true, not 98%, not 99%, 100% true. Okay, and correct. Now you think true and correct are the same? Maybe, maybe not. Guess what? The government, the IRS, is covering their bases. They want to make sure they get you coming and going. So they don't just say, you know, true or correct. They say true and correct, basically. And complete. You did not forget to mention anything that in any way could be relevant. So anything relevant, you've said it, is completely correct and true. And you say it all, you swear to it. And if it is not true, correct, or complete in any way, you know, you understand that you can go to prison for it. Look, they just gave you a warning. They told you. And you should know, in America, you have a right to free speech. People know about that. Most everybody knows, in America, you have a right to free speech. You can say what you want to say. You have a right to exercise your religion. Right? Whatever religion you want to practice, you can do that. Most people also know you have a right to print your own newspaper or magazine or internet website. It's your speech, basically, in writing. You can do that. But among the many other rights guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution's Bill of Rights is your right to simply say nothing. Your right to simply be silent, quiet, and say nothing. The right to be left alone, essentially. Okay? If the government wants to come after you, if the government thinks you're guilty of a crime, they have to gather the evidence to convict you. They cannot get it from your own mouth, from your own hands. They cannot force you to give the information to the government to hang you with. You can just simply be silent. A good example of that is many of you remember about, was it about maybe 14, 15 years ago, the famous football player O.J. Simpson was put on trial for murder of his, I think it was his ex-wife, Nicole, what was her name? I forgot. And they put him on trial, you know, for murder, for killing two human beings, Nicole and her lover, that he's supposed to kill them both, yet he chose to remain silent. Even murderers have a right to be silent. Murderers that kill people, right? They can be quiet. Yet over some money the government wants, right? For that, they want you to speak. They want to pressure you to speak. They want to pressure you to rat on yourself. They want to pressure you to rat on yourself on your oath, swear to it. And if you, what you say is not true, correct, and complete, you can go to prison for it, for perjury. There's no way you can sign this form and not give up your right to be silent, to be left alone, because you gave that right up on your own voluntarily. That's right. It was voluntarily. And why was it voluntary? Well, they told you. Right there, they told you that you signed this piece of paper under penalty of perjury. That means potentially you can go to prison. So implicit, given in that is, hey, you know, you have a Fifth Amendment guaranteed right. You should know about your rights. The government does come and tell you, hey, you have a right to free speech. You're supposed to know that. They don't come and tell you, hey, you have the right to free exercise of your religion. You're supposed to know that. So you're supposed to know that you also have a right to be silent and not just give anything that can be used against you. Well, if you're not in any way true, correct, or complete, what you fill out on the 1040 form, any of it, can be used against you to put you in prison. Now, what kind of prison? Well, let's go online, look it up. Go on your computer, internet browser, whatever you use, Google, Yahoo, whatever. Go on there and type in 26, the number 26 space, USC, which stands for United States Code, okay, 7206, 7206, okay? Let's see. Let's see. Hold on. We got 7206 we can do. We can do 7207 as well. Let's see which one should we start with. Yeah, let's start with 7206. That's a good one. Type and enter. I just did. I use Google. Okay, here's what we get. The first link I got is this. By the way, this is 26 USC is this. Federal law is divided into federal different categories. They call federal laws United States Code. United States Code abbreviation is U, period, C, period, USC. Category 26, or Title 26, is about taxes. So all the supposed income tax laws are all under Title 26, Category 26. That's what 26 USC stands for. Then Section 7206 is a particular section that we're talking about. The type of it comes up. The first one that come up is from Cornell Law University, law.cornell.edu. The second one is comes from government's own printing office, www.gpo.gov. And then the third one also is for also gpo.gov, okay? And then there are other sources that also give you this stuff too. It's not a problem, okay? So you can now, I like the one from the Cornell Law University because it gives the law to you right then and there. Yeah, you know, you don't have to click on anything again second or third time. So we're going to go to that. But you can go to the government, United States Publishing Office. That's what GPO is, in the Government Printing Office, United States Government Publishing Office, and go there. But the first one, Cornell Law University, has the same thing, more readable. Let's see. Let's click on that. What is it? Well, it comes from a Legal Information Institute. It says open access to law since 1992. 26 U.S.C. Code Section 7206, Fraud and False Statements. And what does it say? Let's read that together. Any person who, one, okay, declaration under penalties of perjury. That's what it says. Declaration under penalties of perjury. So any person who willfully makes and subscribes any return statement or other document which contains or is verified by a written declaration that it is made under the penalties of perjury and which he does not believe to be true and correct as to every material matter, okay, and or you got all this stuff. Paragraph 2 is aiding or assisting somebody. 3, other stuff. You keep going down. At the end of all those sections, at the end says, last paragraph, shall be guilty of a felony. Woo. Not a small deal. Not a misdemeanor. A felony is a real crime. Misdemeanors are small stuff. In most states and federal government, it could be 6-year or 1-year maximum jail sentence. Anything over that is a felony. It has a 3, 5, 10, 20 years or longer sentences, right? This one says, shall be guilty of a felony and upon conviction thereof shall be fined no more than $100,000 or imprisoned not more than 3 years or both together with the costs of the prosecution. So if they can fine you up to $100,000. They make you pay for the government's lawyers and the court costs for them to put the trial together, the judge, the clerk, the government lawyer, to pay all the salary of these people. They make you pay that too. And then they can put you in prison up to 3 years. That's for every one of these 1040 income tax confession forms that you fill out. That is not true, correct, and complete about everything. Did you know that's what you're standing for? 3 years. 3 years just for that. And did you understand what you're signing? Of course not. I'll give you guys one example, one story. There's a true story of this problem. Back in July of 1999 in Burbank, California, in the Los Angeles area, I was doing a seminar with one of my students, former gun carrying, IRS Special Agent Jewel Bannister, who had defected from the dark side of politicians, corrupt IRS, and government lies to the side of we the people in the U.S. Constitution, exposed the fact that there is no law requiring the average American to file income tax. He wrote a book about the subject, gave it to his superior at the IRS's top office in the San Francisco Bay Area, who was a longtime family friend, said, I want the IRS to refute my conclusions in this book about the income tax not being applicable to the average American. The book was sent all the way to Washington, D.C.'s Criminal Investigation Division headquarters. And they came back, a one-page memo they sent back to Mr. Joe Barrett's manager, who gave that note to Joe Bannister and said, I've been told to give this to you. And in that letter to Joe Bannister, they said, IRS will not respond and refute the legal conclusions contained in Joe Bannister's report that basically income tax has been imposed on American people in violation of the law. It's a fraud. It's a lie. It forces you to give up and deceives you into giving up your Fifth Amendment right, like I'm speaking about right here about this reward. This reward issue was one of the key points of the report of Joe Bannister on income tax that the IRS's headquarters in Washington, D.C., the Criminal Investigation Division, the ones that put people in prison, who they couldn't answer. They refused and failed to answer. Okay? So Joe Bannister was with me and a few other people doing a seminar, and his lady comes to me after we started a seminar, like about, I think it was about maybe 10 o'clock. We started at 9. She said, is Joe Bannister here? I said, well, yes, may I help you? He says, well, I need to get my husband out of jail, and I'm here to see him. Maybe he can help me get my husband out for taxes. I told her, well, Joe's around here someplace. He's one of my students. And I'll put this event together. If you want to tell me what's going on, I'll try to help you. And when Joe, whatever he is at, he comes back, I'm sure he'll be able to talk to you, listen to you, and offer you any assistance he can offer you as well. So she started telling me her story. And she said, you know, my husband and I are millionaires. That was exact words. They're millionaires. We get big royalty checks. Didn't say what kind of royalty, but it was big royalty checks. And she said that, you know, we pay these professionals to do our tax returns that we sign. And all of a sudden, IRS comes after me and my husband both criminally with criminal tax charges. And we go talk to the IRS to see what's going on with the professionals that we had. And they said, look, we're not criminals. You know, if there's a mistake in our tax return, you know, just tell us what, you know, what it is. We'll correct it. And if we pay the tax, maybe there's a penalty on interest, we'll pay that too. But we're not criminals. Why put us in jail? I said, sorry. That is not going to be the case in this case. We are coming after you criminally to put you in prison. The charges have been filed. The couple says, well, look, we're not at fault here. We don't understand these tax laws. We're not accountants. We're not tax people. We rely upon the tax professionals that we hire to keep our books and prepare the forms for us, and we just sign on there. We're not at fault here. If anybody's at fault, it's the professionals, not us. They're the ones that are supposed to know this stuff and fill out the forms correctly. So really, if you want to go after anybody, you should go after the professionals who filled out the forms incorrectly for us to sign. Iris says, no, sorry, that's not the case. Not on this case. We are coming after you. Because legally speaking, folks, you signed that form. You are responsible for. Remember, let's go back to the signature line of the 1040 form. It says, under penalty of perjury, I declare that I have examined the return and accompanying schedules and statements. You have examined them, the 1040 form, and every other statement and schedules you've attached to the 1040 form. You've examined them to the nth degree. You examine them fully, completely. And you examine them means that you examine them and understand them. You must examine them to understand them. So you examine them and sign them under penalty or perjury. So you are responsible for what you signed. You read it. You examined them. You could have corrected them if there was a mistake. You could have, should have corrected them, but you didn't. It doesn't matter that some professionals, tax professionals, prepared them for you. Ultimately, you are responsible yourself. So we're going to come after you. Wow. She says they walk out disillusioned. Then they want to go get some money to pay a lawyer to defend them. They found out all their bank accounts, all their stock and bond brokerage accounts have been frozen by the IRS. Oh, yes, folks. That's a dirty tactic the government uses. The IRS and their big brother, the United States Department of Injustice. They are no longer a Department of Justice. They are a Department of Injustice. They're a bunch of crooks and criminal lawyers who do the bidding of the political masters that control the United States Department of Justice and have them go after innocent, good people and leave the criminals at Wall Street, the big banks, and the people with big money to buy the politicians, leave them alone in peace, violating American people's rights and stealing people's money. So, they eventually raise $100,000 to pay a lawyer. Somehow they get the money from friends, relatives, home equity they borrow against. I'm not sure, but they said they got $100,000. Now remember, this is 1999 that we're talking about, okay? She came July 99, not 2016. Now this is 17 years ago. This conversation with the lady with me took place. So they raise $100,000 and go pay a lawyer for to defending him. Okay, so you know, in today's money, $100,000, that would be like $200,000 in today's money. Let me ask you, some of you folks, how many of you have a couple hundred thousand dollars put away someplace safe that the IRS cannot see or get to defend you in case the government comes after you, the IRS, for the little mistakes that you have made on your 1040 form? That they want to put you in prison. I bet you not even one out of 1,000 of you has that kind of money set aside. But you sign those 1040 confession forms blindly, religiously, because you're VA, accountant, enrolled agent, tax lawyer, tell you to. You got to fill out the form, 1040 form, by April 15th every year. So, they raise this money, go see a lawyer, and you know what this lawyer's best advice to them is? She told me this lawyer says, the best advice I have for you is for you to make a deal with the government. What kind of a deal? Plead guilty to some of the charges, to lesser charges, okay? So you get less jail time. They say, wait a minute. We're not criminals. We're not guilty of anything. We've done nothing wrong. We've done what we thought was the right thing to do. Every year we thought we have to fill out, and required by law to fill out the 1040 income tax returns. And we did that faithfully. And now, just because we don't understand what these professionals, tax professionals, filled out for us, we don't know accounting and taxes, there's a mistake in there, we should go to jail for a bunch of years. You know, why should we plead guilty to that? We're not guilty of nothing. The lawyer tells him, I understand what you're saying. You're right. Problem is that you make more than the typical juror that sits on the jury box and judges you. You make more than them. They're jealous of you making more money than them. Number one. Number two, the juror, when they're sitting there and the government charging you with tax crime, in their, even though they're told you're innocent until proven guilty, to them, it's the other way around. In their mindset, you're guilty until proven innocent, because too many Americans are blindly loyal to government. They think their democracy is perfect. You know, we have a right to vote, so we can vote, and the government represents the people. So we have a government by, of, and for we the people. So they think, why would the government come after you if you were not guilty to begin with? These smart government lawyers would not come after you if you were not guilty to begin with. That's a lot of that mentality is in that jury to different degrees. So that works against you. But the bottom line is you have some numbers on those 1040 income tax returns that the government says they're wrong. And apparently those numbers are wrong. So when you go there before the jury, how are you going to explain to them that these numbers are wrong? They were not meant for you to cheat on taxes. They were just simply mistakes, innocent mistakes. You can perhaps persuade the jurors to believe you that that was an innocent mistake by the tax professionals and you on those 1040 returns you signed. They buy that? Great. You're going to be found not guilty and go home free. But what if the jury doesn't believe you? What if they don't buy that from you? You see, folks, what you guys don't know is this. When the IRS comes after somebody, they don't come after you for 1 year or 1040 return. You made a mistake. They usually come after you for 3 to 5, 6 years at a time. Minimum 3 years. Typically 4 to 6 years of you doing the same kind of a mistake in your 1040 income tax confession form. Because they want to show the jury that what you did was not a one-time mistake. It was a deliberate mistake or error for several years. So, of course, they say the error was because you wanted to cheat. Okay, not that you made the same mistake or misunderstanding of the tax law every year, but that it was, you know, a pattern. They want to have a pattern. So when they come after you, they come after you for 4 or 5 years typically. Now, I then ask this lady how many years they came after her. But knowing that, I suspect they came after her for 4 or 5 years. After her and her husband. And under Section 7206, fraud and false statements, they can go to jail for 3 years. So if they were come after them for 5 years, each of them was looking to go to jail up to 15 years potentially. For making a fraud and false statements on the 1040 form. Also, but you see, the IRS also can come after them for tax evasion. They could say, look, you put these numbers on your 1040 wrong, and this was your attempt to evade taxes. And you can go IRS Code Section 7201. You can do it like I told you, 26 space USC 7201. And you're going to get Section 7201, right? And it says, any person, IRS Code Section 7201 says this, any person who willfully attempts in any manner to to evade or defeat any tax imposed by this title or the payment thereof shall, keep going, so it says, be fined no more than $100,000 or imprisoned not more than 5 years or both, together with the cost of the prosecution. So they could charge any filer with for tax evasion. Hey, this says if you attempt to, you know, evade a tax in any manner, that means you making that deliberate mistake or error or not completeness on that 1040 income tax return is an act of evasion. Right? Like the last caller we had, Dennis, if he only reports some of his income, not all of it, just part of it he reports, not all of it, that's an act of tax evasion. So those of you out there who for years been filling out returns and only report some of your income, but not all of it, guess what? You have been making yourself liable, potentially facing 3 years of prison maximum for making a false and fraudulent statement on the 1040 income tax return. On top of that, 5 more years for tax evasion. That's 8 years for every 1040 that didn't report all your income or some other substantial problem, mistake you did, or you overestimated, listed your expenses. You people do that too. So think about this couple. This lady looked at me in her late 40s. This couple looking at maybe 5 years of charges, 4 years minimum. At 4 years minimum, let's say, 4 times 8 is 32. They were looking at going to prison, this couple, for up to a maximum of 32 years. Think about that, folks. Couple could have gone to prison and up to be close to 80 years old until the end of their life. They could have been potentially in prison. In other words, they could have gotten a life sentence potentially for filling out the 1040 income tax confession form. They didn't understand what they're confessing to under oath, under penalty of perjury. Isn't that ridiculous or what, folks? In this free country of ours, supposedly free country, the government requires most of us, anybody who works for a living, basically, to fill out these forms that you don't understand. It's too complex. You have professionals helping you or some computer program help you. And if you make a mistake on that or it's not completely true in all ways, you can go to prison for the rest of your life, possibly. That's what this couple was looking at. That's what a lawyer told them. I think you should make a deal. And so look at that, potentially going to getting a life sentence in prison. That's exactly what they did. She told me her husband pled guilty to some of the charges, made a deal, so to let the wife off the hook so she could be free at least. He bit the bullet, the husband, for his wife. And now, this lady heard that income tax is a giant fraud. It's a big lie. That there's no law that requires the average American like her and her husband to pay income tax in the first place, to be liable for income tax in the first place, or be required to fill out a 1040 income tax confession form, which now was used to put her innocent husband in prison. And she's coming out now looking for this former gun-carrying IRS special agent with the Criminal Investigation Division of the IRS, who has demonstrated and proved that there is no law requiring the average American to file up income tax and has come out publicly about it. And the government, the IRS, has failed to refute his conclusions about income tax is a lie, is a fraud. He knows the law. He's exposing it. She's coming to the seminar in Burbank, California at Holiday Inn, hoping, wishing he's there, and he could get her husband out of prison. The hard truth. And the sad, hard truth is, I told her, look, I'm afraid your husband made a deal. Once you make a deal with him, it's like making a deal with the devil. You can't get out of it. He's pled guilty. They have your husband sign a piece of paper voluntarily. He admits. If voluntarily, he must admit, sign the piece of paper that he is guilty. It's all his fault. Not your fault. Not his wife's fault. So they give him a lesser jail term. Instead of going to jail for up to 30 years, they gave him 2 years or 5 years or 8 years. I do not know how many years of prison the husband got. She didn't tell me. But I told her, he cannot get out of it, I'm afraid. Folks, do you want to put yourself in that position? If you don't, think twice before you fill out that form. Because every time you fill out the form, you are opening yourself to what this lady and her husband went through. Yes, they don't come after most people. That's true. The IRS comes after very few people criminally. But the fact of the matter is, most of the people the IRS comes after, okay, have filed a 1040 income tax confession form. Close to 90% of the people that the IRS comes after criminally is people that have filed 1040 income tax confession form. Is that crazy or what? But that's what it is. Only about 10% of the people that the IRS comes after are people that simply have not filed a 1040 income tax confession form. Only 10%, about 10%. So most of the people that in America, you know, about 2 out of 3 people file a income tax confession form. About 2 out of 3 people. 1 out of 3 people doesn't. Do you want to be one of those that come after you criminally? Well, I can tell you what, there's no way for you to completely have no risk at all whatsoever of the government come after you. It's just not possible. They could come after you as a filer or non-filer. Okay? But basically, it's better, less risky for you as a non-filer. Okay? If you go, for example, to irs.gov, okay, put, you know, what you can do, type this on your search engine. Type in statistical data, 3 fiscal years criminal investigation. Okay? The page will come up. That will be IRS's page on criminal prosecutions. And you see that, the IRS come after, charged anywhere from 3,200 to 3,800 and change number of people. Most of them filed this 1040 income tax confession form. So, basically, folks, bottom line is, why should you take the chance to be one of those people? Over 3,000 Americans that get criminally get charged because the 1040 form they filed is not true, correct, or complete. Why take the chance, be the one? And you have no defense. Your only defense is it was an honest mistake. Honest mistake, that's all. Whereas as a non-father, you have many defenses available to you. The biggest one is you truly believe there is no law required to file income tax. And if the jury believes that, and if you've done your homework, you can show that to the jury. Guess what? The jury, by law, must acquit you, must declare you not guilty or innocent. It's that simple. And I'd like to suggest each of you follow the footsteps of former IRS agent Joe Bannister and write to the government, ask them to refute Joe Bannister's findings about income tax. Write to your congressman, write to your senators, ask all of them. Send them Joe Bannister's report and his speeches on video and more, and ask them to show where Joe Bannister's conclusions are wrong. The government could never debate him. They never showed up to any of the debates that was set up by the nonprofit, We the People Foundation, in Washington, D.C. They would never show up, any people from government, to debate the legality of income tax with Joe Bannister and the other experts. They never did. Time after time after time. One of those was a C-SPAN 2 live shown. One of those debates. And if you go on YouTube, you see that. Illegality of income tax exposed. That will come up. Fiam Law School has that on YouTube. Send all that stuff to the congressmen and senators. Demand that they do an independent investigation of these issues for and by themselves. Not just rely on some IRS employee. Not rely on some corrupt court decision that ignores the law. The law is not made by the courts. The law is not written by the IRS either. Those are the judiciary interprets the law. The judges interpret the law. They don't write it. The IRS also interprets the law as best as they can. They don't write it. It's the legislature that writes the law. Your House of Representative member and your U.S. senators, they write the law. The writer of the law should know the law better than anybody else because he wrote it. Ask him to show you. To show you the law. Ask him to show you how you can fill out this form 1040 without it being used against you. Ask him how you can fill out this 1040 form without you giving up your Fifth Amendment right to be silent. They cannot refute it. Ask them that they should do whatever they can to get rid of this corrupt tyranny, slavery system that's been imposed on the American people and is impoverishing the American people into poverty. So with that, folks, livefreedom.org, our website, is a great source for you. Go to our YouTube channel. It's there for you. Become a fan of Freedom Law School on our Facebook page, and we'll be in touch with you, folks, about this and other freedom issues. So I want to thank you all for listening and hope that you get on our email list, stay in touch with Freedom Law School, be on these weekly conference calls on a regular basis, and let's work together to have you live free and have America be a free country once again. Good night, everybody.